time of year. So often we find people are, they get depressed, they get discouraged. Maybe their year hasn't gone very well. Maybe they're not really looking forward to holidays with relatives or whatever the case may be. But you know what? It is a great time of year because the real reason we celebrate is that God came to earth in bodily form as a human being in his son Jesus. And he came here for a reason, to show us God's nature, his love, his compassion, his mercy for us, and to give us a way out of our distress and our human yuck that sometimes we live in. Anxiety, fear, depression, whatever it is. God the Father loved us so much, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. And that is the good news of the gospel. And that's why we do this show. And we're in our 10th year. Beacon of Hope is in our 15th year. A shout out to any new listeners today. And we hope you will make this time in the Word a regular part of your week. We love sharing the Word of God week after week. For the last 2 weeks, actually, I only missed one Sunday show, and that was last week. My associate pastor, Pastor Jim, was on the show with Megan and Shell, and they had a wonderful show. And I was in Mexico, and I'll tell you, Angel and Betty, I'm trying to get my tongue wrapped around talking English, okay, again. Because having been speaking quite a bit in Spanish, this was a glorious trip and an amazing trip in so many ways. God opened so many new doors of opportunity. And a week ago today, I was able to address a leadership conference of pastors in Querétaro, Mexico. And talk about our radio station, our new station that is there in Puebla that we set up in February, and offer these pastors and leaders free radio time to get the Word of God out across Mexico. Betty, do you want to comment on any of that? And then we'll go to Angel, and then we're going back to the Word of God in just a minute after we do another song. So go ahead, Betty.
Well, I think that, you know, God has used you specifically in that geographical area. First of all, because you're obedient. You do what he's asked you to do. You've never wavered. You've taken those steps of faith that most of us, including self, would never do. I believe that God has a purpose for everyone, including Mexico,
right,
that he wants to see souls saved.
Amen.
This radio station is going to reach thousands of people where, yes, sometimes a disciple cannot reach,
right,
due to terrain or, you know, transportation or whatever. But I believe that God has given us the ability to reach people that has never been able to be reached before.
Right.
And he sends willing vessels, just like Mary.
Good point.
A heart for God's people.
Yes.
A heart that is wanting to see souls set free.
Amen.
And I'm not a preacher, but I could go on and on and on, and I know that, you know, we're limited on time. But there comes a point in time where, you know, even during the prayer time that we had for you and for Sir Robin and Enrique and the people down that you were associated with, it meant something to see the pictures because we could see the difference in cultures. We can see the differences in how the people react. And this just breaks my heart because these people down there are so hungry for God's work. And they see you and they smile. Here you walk into a church and people are so empathetic. They're so lethargic that you preach the word and they walk back out and they continue the same life that they walked in as. They're not changed. Those people down there, when they went to a service and they received Christ, or they, you gave them, those ministers, you gave the people who are wanting to advertise or whatever, you gave them hope that they're going to get the word out, that they're, it's just the harvest hands that, that God has
harvest
instructed
hands,
you
yes.
to do.
Yes.
And I mean, I am blessed to be able to be a part of this ministry, to be able to pray for these mission trips. But again, it's spreading God's word quicker
than
what we could ever imagine.
And it's stepping out when God says go. It's like this with Mary. Mary says, I see this now. I'm ready to serve. Let it be with me just as you say. And I, you know, I mean, a year ago right now, I had no idea what 2016 would bring with these two trips to Mexico and the new radio station and the outreach to so many people. But God knew, and he was looking for a willing vessel. And I think that's what we're saying here today on this show, Angel. Talk to me about that before we get to this next song, because Betty's right on here with this whole train of thought.
Oh, absolutely. And, you know, I think a lot of times when we talk about the concept of being a willing vessel, it sounds great and all in theory. I think it's putting it into practice that we really struggle with, you know, you're a wonderful example, stepping way outside the comfort zones and going into new places and doing things and trusting. And you had to trust with each of step that you took that God was leading and he was behind it and he was paving and doing his work. And this wasn't your first one doing this work with the people in Mexico, and it's probably not your last. And
no.
But with each one, a new plan and a new purpose happened.
Right. Yes.
But we have to be that vessel, which means it's not about me anymore.
That's right.
It's about him and where he's going and how he's going to do it. And it's not convenient, you know, a lot of times, you know, we sit in this Burger King mentality here is, you know, I want it my way and I want it now.
Right. Yeah.
That's not God's mentality. And I think we forget the children of Israel wandered the desert for 40 years. They didn't just go from Egypt to the promised land. There was a generation, like some lifespans could have been caught in the middle of that.
Oh, yeah.
But that was just perfect timing.
Right.
And we have to be that willing vessel means I have to take me out and put him in.
Amen. Amen. That's what it's all about. That's what Mary did. That's what God is asking us to do. Even though it may seem strange to us when we embark on a new venture, as our ministry has here with this work in Central America and actually the shows worldwide on the internet. And we thank God for the opportunity. We thank God for these open doors. It's with every step of this trip, I can tell you that God was in it, that timing over and over again worked out perfectly in situations, that God never let us down at all. And every mode of transportation I was on, and that was planes and trains and automobiles, but no trains. But anyway, it was buses and everything. God protected us around those mountain curves and everything. There was always his protection, and that's what he does when we answer the call. And we've got to go to this song, It's a Strange Way to Save the World, by the group For Him.
I'm sure he must have been surprised at where this road had taken him, 'cause never in a million lives would he have dreamed of Bethlehem. And standing at the manger, he saw with his own eyes the message from the angel come alive. And Joseph said, just a simple man of trade. Why him with all the rulers in the world? Why here inside this stable filled with hay? just an ordinary girl. And now I'm not one to second guess what angels have to say. But this is such a strange way to say the word. To think of how it could have been if Jesus had come as he deserved. There would have been no Bethlehem, no lowly shepherds at his birth. But Joseph knew the reason love had to reach so far. And as he held the Savior in his arms, he must have thought, why me? I'm just a simple man of trade. Why him, with all the rulers in the world? Why here, inside this stable filled with hay? Why her? She's just an ordinary girl. And now I'm not a one to second guess what angels have to say. But this is such a strange way to say the
strange way.
This is such a strange way
to save the world. Praise God. Love that song. We're going back to Luke chapter 2. Jesus was born where? We all know Bethlehem. In Judah territory. This was the tribe of Judah, Israel's tribe, one of the 12. Judah means praise. This was during Herod's kingship. A band of scholars arrived. We know them as the wise men. And they arrived in Jerusalem from the east, and they ask around, where can we find and pay homage to the newborn king of the Jews? I'm in Luke chapter 2, the beginning verses. We observed a star in the eastern sky that signaled his birth. We're on pilgrimage to worship him. Verse 3. When word of their inquiry got to Herod, he was terrified, and not Herod alone, but most of Jerusalem as well. Herod lost no time. He gathered all the high priests and religion scholars in the city together, and he said, "Where is the Messiah supposed to be born?" And they told him, "Bethlehem, Judah territory." The prophet Micah wrote it plainly. Love these prophecies from hundreds of years before they happened. Again, we are reminded God has a plan. He worked his plan. It came out perfectly and right on time. And dear one, the stuff in your life, if you will trust God to work his plan in your life, if you will believe what Jeremiah 29:11-14 says, that God knows the plans he has for you, plans to bless you and give you a future and a hope. If you will grab onto that and not let the devil scare you about your circumstances, God's plan will come about in your life. Where is this Messiah supposed to be born? Bethlehem. Micah chapter 5, verse 2. It's you, Bethlehem, in Judah's land, no longer bringing up the rear. From you will come the leader who will shepherd rule my people, my Israel. Talk to us about this. Betty, perfect timing. So often we just get so scared and don't think God's going to move in our lives and bail us out of whatever mess we're in. You know what I mean?
Oh, yes. Yes, many times. in life we see our circumstances and it's not what we want, but it actually played out better than what we had anticipated.
Exactly.
Maybe if our plan had been successful, God would not have received the glory that he deserved in that situation.
Amen.
And one of the things that God has laid upon my heart is the prayer ministry.
Right.
And how better can you pray for people that I set myself up for, and we haven't gotten to talk, but I set myself up. I wanted to see what would happen if I didn't pray, if I didn't read God's word, if I didn't listen to God's music, if I didn't enthrall myself to and totally incorporate in my life the things that God gives us the ability to listen to read or whatever. And the devil took it upon himself to try to put on those things that we're talking about right now, depression, anger,
right.
Hostility.
Sure,
all of the time. And that's what happens when we don't have that trust.
That's right.
And then once we get back in the Word, our countenance changes.
Sure it does.
Our inside changes. And once I get back into prayer, once you get back into the Word, once you start asking God for forgiveness, or you do that surrender thing, that he looks at your heart and he sees the sincerity that is there. And I think that's what he saw in Mary.
Oh, absolutely.
The sincerity and the willingness to do whatever God had asked her to do. And being human, you know, she may have wavered a bit. Maybe her faith just failed a little bit. But again, even in our circumstances, God gives us maybe a sneak peek through maybe a word of encouragement, or someone just says, hey, here's $20. God told me that you needed this. And it's just those suddenly moments like Mary had received, is that the things just came into perspective.
Right.
There was a whole new outlook on life, and that's what God does for us.
Amen.
Even today.
Amen. Angel, talk to us about all that. Woo!
This is a really amazing show. I just want to say,
isn't it? Blessed.
It really is. And, you know, it just really goes, it's one of those topics that just firm up that faith. And
right.
Just every time you hear that story, it just gives you more strength in that.
Yes.
Trust in
yes.
that. It really does. It just grows you in that way. And things that we can do to help grow it, you know, and hearing the stories of God and reading the stories of
Amen.
God and talking with people that share our faith and people who don't share and sharing, look what God's done for
yes,
me in my life.
Yes.
Those are amazing things. And I love the prayer because I think there's so many benefits when we pray for others. First, for taking our focus off of us for a bit and our own stresses and our own anxieties. And we are putting seeds in someone else's life.
Right.
And we're getting the benefits, the bennies, you know, the benefits from God.
That's right.
He's working in our life. He's working in us. It's reducing our stress and anxiety. And it's planting seeds of his grace and his miracles to work in other people's lives.
Oh,
and
yeah.
So I'm just feeling, I just had to say, I'm feeling so blessed from the show. It's just very
yes,
encouraging.
Yes, me too. And it reminds us of the purposefulness of God. And that's one of your favorite words, Dr. Angel. Purpose and passion, right? And when we get passionate about the gospel, about this wonderful event that God sent his son to this earth, when we get passionate about that, when we realize it was purposeful, it was intentional, it's a plan, it changed our lives, it will change others. And like that song we played a minute ago, this is a strange world, this is a strange way to save the world, but it was God's plan. Talk to me about that real quick, Angel, before we go to this next song.
Well, you know, that purposeful, there is the power in that is their safety and security.
Right.
You know, this wasn't called the Big Bang Jesus accident, and he came. This was the plan from the beginning of ages.
We Amen. Can,
there's safety in the plan. God's a plan.
Right.
He had a plan and still has a plan through ages, and that should give us comfort and Woo! Security that this is not an accident. We're not just meandering, and if we bump into somebody and a miracle happens, it's a good day for us. This is guaranteed. This is definite. This is a plan. I love that.
Whoa, amen it is. It's the Messiah by Winona. Love it.
Must have been something.
Love this song.
Being born in a manger. With a sheep from the fields and a star shining over your head. It must have been something. Seeing three wise men on their knees before a newborn, with their eyes all aglow, and in their hearts they know it's the Messiah. He's come at last. It's the must have been something. Speaking the word of your Father. With the promise of life and peace forever. Walk on the streets of Jerusalem with the sins of the world on the innocence of a lamb. Soon everyone will know it's the
God. Love that song. It's the Messiah. He's come at last. Why? Because it was actually the first prophecies in the book of Genesis in chapter 3 that the Messiah didn't call them that name, the Messiah, but was going to come and bruise the heel of the enemy. And so clear back all through hundreds and actually thousands of years, there were references made to the coming of the Messiah. The Messiah is Jesus. He did arrive. He did show up. He did find himself born and laying in a manger. He did have wonderful parents, Mary and Joseph, that raised him. And then he did begin to do the work of his Father. And he did die on a cross for our sins, our sicknesses, and he did rise again from the dead. And that's the Messiah we're talking about today. Talk to us, Betty. Woo, good stuff.
Well, I think that by him coming, we were saved. We had that the Messiah came for us. He died for us.
Amen.
So that our sins could be forgiven and there would not have to be, because he was the sacrifice.
Yes.
He was the final sacrifice that had to be made.
Yes.
And we are blessed to be able to be called disciples of Christ.
Amen.
To be able to walk under that umbrella, so to speak, to say that, you know, I'm a child of the King. I am a God. I am a King's kid, and that bears. I mean, we sometimes forget until Christmas comes. We forget what happened in that meet. What happened to Mary and what happened to Joseph at that time. And it's just a gentle reminder that just as the cross is a gentle reminder, you know, in the early part of the year, that even at this time is another time of the year to give thanks.
Amen.
For what God did for us.
And you know, it's interesting that even with the birth of Jesus, Satan didn't stop his work here. He didn't say, oh, I'll just let this happen. No, he fought tooth and nail the whole time. And we see in Matthew chapter 2 that when the wise men went to Herod, Herod was so threatened that this Messiah was going to come against his ruling, his kingdom, that he actually said to the wise men, you know, let me know when you find him because I'm going to come and worship him too, which was a lie. The devil is a liar. He's the father of lies. That's what John 8 says. John 8:44, the devil's a liar and the father of lies. And the devil through Herod said to the wise men, you know what, let me know because, you know, I'm going to come and I'm going to join you. We're going to have a big old worship service and everything's going to be great. And that was just an outright lie. And when the wise men walked out of Herod's presence, that star came back that was in the eastern sky and led them to the manger and the little area where Jesus was. I am in Matthew chapter 2, verse 11. The wise men entered the house. They saw the child in the arms of Mary, his mother. And look at this. In the Message Bible, it says they were overcome. They kneeled and worshiped him. They didn't sit there and say, okay, now what's going on here? No, they were overcome. They felt the presence of Almighty God. They were overcome. They kneeled and worshiped him. Then they opened their luggage and presented gifts. Gold, which was symbolic of royalty. Frankincense, which was symbolic of divinity. And myrrh, which was symbolic of burial. Interesting. So they were saying with these three gifts, you are royalty, you are God, and you're going to die. And that is what this was about. And they were already aware. And verse 12, and then we'll go to Angel here. In a dream, they were warned not to report back to Herod. Again, God took care of them and gave them specific instructions. So they worked out another route. They had, I guess, Google Maps or something. And they left the territory without being seen and returned to their own country. Talk to me, Angel. God's purposefulness.
It is. He doesn't leave an I not dotted or a T not crossed in his plan. It is a complete plan. And
it is.
Decisions were made for every step that was necessary for this plan to come through and come through fruition. And you know, first there was a very intimate plan between Mary and Joseph, and then it became out there and more known, and, you know, the wise men were coming, and it was the perfect plan.
The perfect plan.
Absolutely. Totally perfect. It perfectly planned, perfectly laid out, in letting the people know the information that they needed when they needed it. I mean, he didn't tell them as they were coming, hey, okay, you can go back the same route. You know, it was, right, we're going to do this. This is the next step of the plan. And he gives us pieces of that plan as we're walking in that obedience.
Amen.
We see the next part of what our part and our obedience is, and then the next step of our obedience.
And it's step by step. You're exactly right. God does not lay it all out. I have no idea everything that God's going to bring in 2017, but I know it's going to be glorious. And along with that point you just made, remember when the angel told Joseph to name him Jesus and told Mary to name him Jesus? That means five things. Jehovah is our salvation. That's the first one. It means he's our deliverance. He's our safety, our helper, and our prosperer. You see all of that right here in this story because the baby Jesus, the mother Mary, the father Joseph were all protected. God, Jehovah, our salvation, protected them. He was their safety. Betty, talk to us about this here in Matthew chapter 2.
Well, I think, again, it's just God's way of seeing the plan is thought out from start to finish.
Right, yes.
There's no hiccups. There's no wavering. There's no bumps in the road.
Right.
Is that when God oversees something, God takes control of it.
Right.
It's going to happen.
Right.
And I think that when they have... We have that, and we have that protection today.
Right.
We have that hand, that righteous right hand that covers us, that we rest in the shadow of the Almighty. And it's just amazing how this story can relate to us today.
Absolutely.
You know, 2,000 years ago. And people don't look at it that way. They think it's present. And it's, you know, celebration. Yes, it is a celebration of life because Jesus came to this earth for you and me.
Yes, 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 yes. And it was so intentional. I love the fact that they were all protected. The wise men came a long distance to make a point. They were determined to worship at the feet of this Messiah. And I mean... My gosh, most of us don't want to be inconvenienced for a minute or two to spend time in worship. Talk to me about that, Angel. I mean, these guys were amazing, these wise men.
Absolutely. They had to go through a lot of trouble to get there and take a lot of effort, planning, resources, energy. I mean, it wasn't, you know, a lot of times we don't even want to get in the car and drive 20 miles down the road because it's inconvenient.
Right.
And yet... Their dedication, their obedience,
yes,
made them those kind of vessels that they were willing to go the distance with God.
Yes.
And, yeah, we lose that in our culture. And I think what happens is we get so wrapped into me, what's going on in my world, my problems, my time, my resources, instead of saying, these are God's, I'm borrowing them, and he's guiding me as we go.
Right. Exactly.
We want to just claim all that ownership, but then we don't want to give it away. We have to live that life of being willing to surrender what God has given us, surrendering our time, surrendering our energy, surrendering our hearts. You know, those are the things that put us in obedience with God to work in our life the way we want to see him work.
Absolutely. And, you know, it's not a small thing when we go out of our way to obey. Do you know what I'm saying? It's not a small thing when we say, God, I want to worship you. I want to do for you what you want done. Tell me what I need to do. Put me in the right path. I will obey. That's kind of been the theme today in this show. When we trust, like Mary and Joseph did, that they were being talked to correctly, that they were hearing it correctly. The proof was in the pudding. The baby was born, and then these wise men show up and begin to worship him. I mean, you talk about a confirmation, Betty. This is a confirmation, all right, from Almighty God. Talk to me about that.
Well, heavens, yeah. It's more than sometimes I can comprehend of someone saying, this is the Messiah. This is who I want. This is who you're going to be worshiping. This is who's going to take the sins of the world. But I think once you step into the presence of Almighty God, that you realize that's where you are. And they bowed because of the just the feeling of knowing that what he was going to do. Maybe they didn't have an idea. Maybe they did. I don't know. We don't know what their thought pattern was. But it all boils down to of obedience.
It does.
Trust in realizing that there is a Messiah that has come.
Right.
He came for them, and he's come for us today. And we still have that privilege in this country to be able to worship that Savior that was born in that manger.
Amen.
Mary, Joseph.
Yes.
And that we sometimes take it for granted.
Yes, we do.
And we shouldn't. We should realize that he has come, and he is coming again.
Amen. Praise God. Amen. And as these wise men went out of their way and were inconvenienced to go and find the Messiah and worship him, so much more should we be doing ourselves now, right, Angel? I mean, come on, let's be inconvenienced if it takes that to be in the right place at the right time where God wants us.
Absolutely, and that should be the frame of heart we seek to get ourselves to, is that surrender, that obedience, that willing to take, to demonstrate that love we have for God and obedience. That's the action behind our love. That's the action behind our trust. And I think it's just really easy for us to profess this. Yes, I believe in God. Yes, I believe Jesus is Messiah and he died. And we can believe this, but then, wait, you want action too?
Right.
You know, and I think And I think we all do at some point. And I
think we all do. Yeah, sure we do.
There's certain times we all kind of hit that self-centeredness a little bit, but to be mindful of, I'm surrendering this to God. I'm surrendering me to God. I'm surrendering my career to God. I'm surrendering this family that's helpful to him. This is his, and I'm going to be a good steward of what he's given me by being obedient to what he's asking me to do with it.
Well, you're exactly right, and that's where Mary and Joseph were so outstanding, in my opinion, because they were inconvenienced. You look in verse 13 of Matthew chapter 2, and after the wise men left, God's angel shows up again in Joseph's dream and says, get up. I mean, he just gets into a nice cozy sleep in the manger or in the little, stall, whatever it was, the barn. And then he says in a dream, get up, take the child and his mother and flee to Egypt and stay there until further notice. Herod is on the hunt for this child and wants to kill him. And in verse 14 of Matthew 2, Joseph obeyed. It's a whole sentence right there, Betty. Joseph obeyed. He got up. He took the child and his mother.
Well, I believe that he had the sense to realize that danger could be approaching, and
right,
that, again, preparedness, that God was ahead. God was way ahead of Herod, and he knew that there was a plan that had to be fulfilled. Herod right. was not going to stand in the way
right.
because he had already made like plan A and plan B. Well, plan A and God's plan always work. And it's like, you know, stay out of the way because
here
God
it comes,
will
right.
provide. He will provide a way.
He will provide a way.
No matter what in that old song, no matter what the circumstances of what we feel or see, God is going to work in your life.
Right.
If you let him.
Amen. And we see here in Matthew 2 that Joseph obeyed. He got up. He took the baby Jesus, his mother, Mary. They lived in Egypt until Herod's death. And this was another fulfillment of prophecy from the book of Hosea, chapter 11, verse 1. I called my son out of Egypt. Hosea 11:1, spoken hundreds of years before it happened. Yes, Jesus was in Egypt for a period of time, maybe a couple years, maybe longer. We don't know, but we know that Joseph obeyed, took baby Jesus and Mary, and they left the area so that the Messiah could not be killed. I believe we need to protect the presence of God in our lives more than we do, ladies. I believe so often we allow the junk of our past, the junk around us, people's negativity, whatever, to try to steal the anointing and the presence of God in our lives. Angel, you want to comment on that before we do this next song?
Oh, wow. We sure do allow that to happen. And you're right. We do need to protect. We need to protect what we have, and we need to be that filter for what we allow to come in into our lives.
Yes.
And how we're going to let it impact us. And I think what we do is we feed, you know, our culture, especially we feed on that negativity. We feed on that drama. We feed on those things that are stealing and robbing that active, alive presence of God in our life. They're the things that are creating the doubt. They're the things
right.
that are creating anxiety.
Yes.
And we're allowing it to suck that from us. And we have to be the gatekeeper of that for ourselves.
Ooh,
for our
so
children,
true.
For our home.
Yes. Yes. And it's so important that we realize that we have to be that gatekeeper, that we have to make sure the presence of God is guarded in our lives. Oh, Betty, you want to comment on that before we go to this song?
Well, I couldn't agree more with Angel, is that we have so much to be thankful for. We have so much to be grateful for. And sometimes when we get out of that, out of God's will for our lives, that's another show, God's will for our life, but he has such a gentleness, just like he did with Mary, sending an angel, just like he did with Joseph. Everything was peaceful.
Right.
It was forthright. It was true. They obeyed, and they were able to survive. They were
right.
able to withstand the attempts of death, the attempts of capture, until the time was right for his capture.
Exactly.
And it's just it's still, to me, it's still mind blowing of all that's happened just in this whole show, because
it's good, a great God, show.
It is good stuff. It is thought provoking, and we have to realize that God is our Savior.
Amen.
And the reason for the season is Jesus Christ.
Amen. Ooh, I heard the bells on Christmas Day casting crowns.
I heard the bells on Christmas Day. Their old familiar carols play, and mild and sweet their songs repeat, of peace on earth, goodwill to men. And the bells, like a choir, they're singing. In my heart, I hear them. Peace on earth, goodwill to men. And in despair, I bowed my head. There is no peace on earth, I said. For hate is strong and mocks the song of peace on earth, goodwill to men. But the bells are ringing like a choir singing. Thank you.
voice, a chime, a chant sublime of peace on earth, goodwill to men. And the bells they're ringing like a choir they're singing. And with our hearts we'll hear them. Peace on earth, goodwill to men.
Praise God, Prince of Peace.
Peace.
Whoa, I love that song. It reminds us of who he is. He is the Prince of Peace. In fact, in John chapters 14, 15, different places in there, Jesus says, "My peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." Dear one, we are standing against the attacks that the devil throws at us. And he throws fear. He throws doubt. He throws unbelief. He throws discouragement, anxiety, panic attacks, whatever it is. He throws that stuff at you in order to take your peace from you. Peace is what Jesus came to give us. Peace I give you. My peace I leave with you. And at this season of stress, a lot of times, family situations, whatever your situation might be, he is the Prince of Peace. Talk to me, Angel.
Peace. Oh, my gosh. I think that's the thing that I think we feel lacking so much.
Yes.
Every day. Like, just feels hurried. It feels chaotic. It feels
right.
Loud. It feels, you know, so much of those things that usher in that depression, anxiety, you know, worry. And he's a prince. He is peace. We're missing that, and we're craving it so much that I don't even know we realize how much we crave that peace for us. And it's him. It's in him.
Yes, yes.
And that's where we find it. And that's the only place we find it. You know, we might be thinking we could go and have this pretty vacation in a secluded location, but that peace is only in him and through
Amen.
Him.
Amen.
Without it, we might get a break from the hustle, bustle, hurry, but that's not peace.
That's exactly right.
Speaking that peace is something we should be doing every day, constantly, as we're living our life, because it's in him and it's growing us closer to him. And as we are, you know, as we're developing that peace just permeates us. And, you know, the world can be going crazy around us, but when you have that peace, you have security, you have assurance, you have
right.
hope. And that's what we need. That's what we're looking to have.
Amen. When you were quoting that, it reminded me of a verse in Ephesians that Paul wrote, Ephesians 2, about verse 12, 13, 14, somewhere in there. It says this: "He is our peace who has broken down every wall." And that's what it's all about at this Christmas season. Take him, Jesus, as your Savior, your Prince of Peace, the one who breaks down the walls in your life that are keeping you from walking in that peace. He will break those down, and he will destroy those things that keep you from walking in peace. He is our peace who has broken down every wall. He did it on the cross. Now it's up to you to receive it and walk in it. I'm going to pray the sinner's prayer right now. Betty, I'm going to ask you to repeat after me for any of those out there listening today. The best gift you can give yourself and your family is to receive Jesus Christ into your heart as your Lord and Savior. This season of gift giving, give yourself the most wonderful gift, eternal life. If you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, that he died on a cross for you, took your sins and your sicknesses, and was raised from the dead on the third day, then pray this prayer. Repeat it with Betty. Dear Heavenly Father, I come to you now in the name of Jesus.
Dear Heavenly Father, I come to you now in the name of Jesus.
I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God.
I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God.
I believe that he came to this earth to show us the goodness of the Father.
I believe he came to this earth to show us the goodness of the Father.
I believe that he died on a cross for my sins and sicknesses.
I believe that he died on the cross for my sins and sicknesses.
I believe on the third day he rose from the dead.
I believe that he rose on the third day from the dead.
I receive you now, Jesus, into my life and my heart.
I receive you now, Lord Jesus, into my life and into my heart.
Become my Savior. And forgive,
my Savior,
and forgive me and for forgive anything me. And everything I've ever said or done that was not pleasing to you.
Forgive me for everything and everything I've done that was not pleasing in your eyes.
I accept you as my Lord and Savior.
I accept you as my Lord and Savior.
I am your child.
I am your child.
And you are my Prince of Peace.
And you are my Prince of Peace.
I receive your peace now into my life.
I receive your peace into my life now.
In Jesus' name, this I pray.
In Jesus' name, I pray.
Amen.
Amen.
Oh, quick comment there, Betty. We're running out of time here, but we got a few minutes. Go ahead.
Well, I was trying to find the scripture, and I've got my glasses off, and I can't see. I think it's John. Hold on a second. John 16. 33. These things I have spoken to you, that in me you may have peace.
Right. Yes.
Now, in the world, you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer, because I, the Lord Jesus Christ, have overcome the world.
Great verse. Amen.
And it's still, you know, even back, people think that, you know, that was during biblical times. That doesn't apply to me. Yes, it does, because that word, those words of encouragement, those words of peace, those words of faith, I mean, everything we've talked about today is what he wants for your life, and that he wants to see you walking in victory.
Yes.
And because of that child in that manger, you have been set free.
Amen.
You've been set free from the sins of the world. And Pastor Marcia and Angel, we take that, we still, I emphasize, we take this for granted that, yeah, it's Christmas. This is about presents. This is about getting together as family. Yes, I believe that. But Dr. Angel had said something several shows ago about practicing the presence of God.
Amen.
Rather than receiving the presence.
Yes, powerful sentence, yes.
Very powerful sentence, and that has stuck with me for the last several weeks, and I have tried so hard to when I pray, is to actually pray for the presence of Almighty God in my life.
Right.
And he becomes so prevalent, and so it's exuberant that you just want to shout. You just want to shout at the top of your lungs,
Amen.
Look what Jesus has done for me, and that's what he can do for you.
Woo! Right on. Angel, you want to comment on that? You did say that, Angel, 3 or 4 weeks ago.
I did. Wow. You know, I have wrote it on a sticky, and it sits in my office at work, so I'm reminding myself of it all the time, too, because it's easy to lose our focus. So easy when, you know, things are happening so quickly, especially this time of year, and so many obligations and things that need to be done, that it's all about his presence. That's
Amen.
What's giving me peace. That's what's giving me my strength. That's what gives me my purpose. That's what gives me my hope. And, you know, and that's where it's coming from, and only where it's coming from, and just really learning to refocus that it'll change your life. And the thing is we will have things that he has done for us, but he's going to continue to do those things, and we'll have, it grows and it expounds. And as we practice his obedience, the next time is a little easier. You know, the first time they obeyed and put action to plan. But the second time, you know, they did it again. And I just believe as we do it, it becomes easier to put those actions
it does.
Into God's plans as we're practicing that. It's we have to be purposeful to be obedient and trust into God's plans and his fullness and his perfection.
Amen. We practice his presence in our lives. As we said earlier, we guard it. It's important that you spend time in prayer. It's important that you spend time praising God and giving him thanks. I heard Graham Cook say, and I wrote it down, we should live like we have a celebration sandwich every day. And it starts with giving thanks and celebrating who he is and how wonderful he is. In the middle, you put your request there. God, here's where I'm at with this. And you end it with praise and thanksgiving. So it's a celebration sandwich of celebration. In the middle is your request. But the most important thing and the thing that moves God is our celebration of his presence in our lives, thanking him for the answers to prayer before we see them, and rejoicing in his presence and guarding that presence within our hearts. You both have about 30 seconds for a final word. Go, Angel.
You know, if we hear nothing else, he is our King of Kings, he's our Lord of Lords, and he is our peace.
Amen.
And just soak that in. Let us soak that in over the season, because he is who is going to change us.
That's
day
right.
by day, step by step.
Amen. Wow, good stuff. Betty, thank you, Angel, for being on, as always, and we'll see you very soon. Betty, go with it.
Well, I think one of the things that we need to, there's a song, and you may have to help me with this, what he's done for others,
he'll do for you.
Yeah. And it's so prevalent in this time, especially during this season, is just remember that Jesus is the reason for the season.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Betty. As always, we love having you and Angel and all of our radio team members now growing to 10. And we thank you for taking the time and sharing your experiences and your wisdom and your joy with our audience. So thanks, Betty. Thanks, Angel. Dear ones, you can start this eternal life. If you prayed that prayer with us today, we'd love to hear from you. You can write me personally, pastor@bohmglobal.com. You can check out our website, bohmglobal.com. That's www.bohmglobal.com. You can send your prayer requests in, Pastor Jim, my associate pastor, or Betty that you've just heard, or Shell. We'll send those requests out. That address is prayers@bohmglobal.com. BOHM stands for Beacon of Hope Ministries. So you can send your prayer request to bohmglobal.com. God bless you. This has been Pastor Marcia, Betty, and Angel bringing you the Word of God today. And it's not far to Jesus. No, it isn't. See you soon. It's not far from me.